16, 1 to 9, and I'm reading from the NIV. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for, though through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps.
In this series of New Year's resolutions, and just thinking about what it means to be wise people, and we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, which is a part of the Bible known as, I guess the genre is wisdom literature. And to be honest, I don't like the book of Proverbs. This is the first time I've ever preached from the book of Proverbs. I kind of find it confusing because you have a number of little pithy statements and they're often in contradiction in one another. So there are very few proverbs that you can actually put on your fridge and say, well, this is a universal truth. This is going to work in all circumstances. Rather, what you need to do, you need to hold all of these truths and all these teachings kind of in tension within one another. And somewhere in the middle there, as you do that, you gain wisdom. Proverbs is taking the Torah, is taking the Word of God and applying it to everyday life. And so we start the series by looking at what it meant to have a wise heart. Last week we looked at wise words, how our words can be used for good of others. And today we're going to be thinking about making wise plans. So no doubt as you enter into 2017, you have some plans and some dreams and some ambitions for your life. And we're going to just be sitting in the book of Proverbs this morning and thinking about, well, how can I include God into those plans? So as we come to God's word with the expectant heart that he's going to speak to us, change us, encourage us this morning, let's come to him again in prayer. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us. You know us by name and you know our hearts and you know our minds. I believe and we believe that it's no accident that we are here today. God, we acknowledge that you are a God who longs to speak to us and you are speaking to us. You are a revealing God. Throughout history, you've gathered your people around your words, around your thoughts, and so I pray today that you will inspire us to live for you, to transform us, to change us at this point in history where we live so that we might be God's people in this world. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I was watching a documentary towards the end of last year entitled A Man on a Wire. It's about this guy by the name of Philippe Petit, who was born in France in 1949. At the age of six, Philippe just became fascinated with magic. And by the age of 16, he was performing in the streets of Paris. Philippe wasn't very good at academic study. In fact, he was kicked out of five different schools. But eventually, he formed a passion for tightrope walking. Those really high tightropes. One day, he was sitting in the dentist, just waiting for his, teeth to be looked at, and he was reading the newspaper, and he was reading in the newspaper of some plans of the Twin Towers in New York. So these towers hadn't even been built yet, but in his mind, he formed a vision or a plan that he would stretch a wire between these two towers and he would walk across them. And eventually he did that. In 1973, it was an illegal act, but he worked out, after much planning and much preparation, how to set up the wire without the security guards finding out. He thought about how much these buildings sway in the wind, where the wind would most likely come from. And after years of planning and preparing and planning and preparing, he stepped out onto that wire, 1,300 feet above the pavement. There was a huge crowd below him, and they watched in amazement as he almost kind of danced across this wire. Now, when you look at people like Philip, you think, well, here is somebody who's just really gifted. He's really talented. Here is somebody who's just courageous. You know, he just woke up one morning and put a wire between these two twin towers and decided that he was going to kind of walk along it. But you and I know that that is not true. For Philip to do what he did required years of dedication, of training, of preparing, and of planning. And it seems to me that anything worthwhile doing in life requires that sort of effort. If we want to live a great life, if we want to have a vision for our life, if we want to discover a purpose for our life, then it's not just that we rock up and actually fulfill that purpose, but that purpose requires a lot of planning and preparation and training on our behalf. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. How to make wise plans, how to prepare for those plans, and how to actually bring those plans to fruition. There are some decisions that we make that aren't really important at all, are they? So whether you have skinny milk or full cream milk in your coffee, well, that doesn't really matter, does it? Whether you buy a Mac or a PC, well, that doesn't really matter. But then there are other decisions that we make that are really important, like ethical decisions, moral decisions. The way we treat one another, the way we speak to one another, the way we use our wealth and our time, our view on sexuality. The Bible speaks clearly about those issues, and they're important for us to obey. But then there are a bunch of decisions that we make that kind of they're morally neutral. Like, what career should I have? Where should I live? What university should I go to? Decisions that we make, that we can make a number of different decisions and they'd all be good, but is there possibly a better good? And how do we actually involve God in that sort of decision making? So my son Liam, he's going into year 11 this year, and so last year we had to choose the subjects that he would do for year 11 and 12. And in a sense, there's lots of decisions that we could make there, and they're not necessarily bad or evil decisions, but what is the best decision, and how do we include God in on those decisions? That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. The first thing that the book of Proverbs teaches us is that when it comes to decision-making, when it comes to planning, that there's a great paradox involved. And the paradox is this, and it works its way all throughout the Bible. The paradox is that we have to make decisions and plans ourselves, and they are important and they have consequences, so our decisions matter, but also that God is sovereign and that God is in control. So look at chapter 25, verse 5. It says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And so what is that proverb saying? It's saying instead of just allowing our life to flow on, it's saying work hard, think hard, plan hard, because there are consequences to your decisions. There are real results to your actions. I don't know if you watched a number of years ago the movie Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow. It shows about her character making a train or missing a train, being on time or 5 minutes late. And then it goes on to show for the rest of the movie the consequences of that decision. So the consequences of missing a train for her were huge and they were life-changing. And what the book of Proverbs is saying is that life is like that, our decisions are like that. That our decisions matter, that they are important, and we need to give them a great deal of thought. I was thinking about this during the week. When I finished theological college, there were a number of churches that I could have gone to in terms of being a youth pastor. So there was a church in New Zealand, there was one in Victoria, there was one in Western Australia, and there was one in Newcastle. And I thought about how I actually made that decision and what would have been the consequences of making a different decision. If I had made a different decision and didn't go to Newcastle, I would not have met Janelle. If I didn't meet Janelle, I wouldn't have had our three kids, Liam, Jessica and Abigail. And so reflecting back upon that, it shows me that my decision making is actually really important and it affects my life in a great way. But on the flip side of that, we also have to depend and believe in the sovereignty of God. That yes, I am making decisions and my decisions matter, but that God is powerful and that God is sovereign and that God is in control. In chapter 16, verse 33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Now, the lot in the ancient times was the equivalent to our roll of dice. And the writer of Proverbs is saying, well, life can be like that. In your decision-making, it can be kind of just like rolling the dice. But this proverb says, well, look at the one who controls the dice. Who controls the dice? God, the Lord God, Yahweh. God is at work. Chapter 21, verse 1, it says, the king's heart is a stream of water, and he, God, channels towards all who please him. So again, in the ancient world, the king was the most powerful person in that culture. The king could make decisions and that could actually affect nations. And you can actually persuade the king to decide differently, yet this proverb says that even the king's decisions are controlled by God, by Yahweh. That the king, although he's really powerful, though he's really strong, Yahweh guides the king's decisions like a stream of water. Verse 9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their plans. So here is the idea that I guess theologians and Christians and theological students have been trying to work out this tension throughout the centuries. That yes, I make decisions and my decisions matter, so I need to be thoughtful and wise about my decisions. Yet at the same time, God is sovereign, God is powerful, and that God is in control. In verse 4, it says, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for the day of disaster. So here is the idea that even evil plans or poor decisions or the mistakes that I make can actually be used in terms of God's purpose in this world and for my life. I guess one of the greatest illustrations of that is Joseph, isn't it? You remember Joseph when he was a boy. His 10 older brothers throw him in a pit and sell him off into slavery. And then years later, Joseph meets up with his brothers. And he tells them, what you planned for evil, God intended for good. So what does that teach us? That even in our mistakes, even in the things that we get wrong, even when we get off track, that God can use those things for his purposes and his plans. So there are two great tensions when it comes to planning, when it comes to setting goals, when it comes to decision making, that we need to hold in tension with one another. That my decisions matter, but that God is sovereign. And how does that help us in the everyday of life? Well, this is how it helps me. As we'll look at later on in my talk, that as we seek as Christians to live our life under the rule of God, under the word of God, increasingly the more we get to know God, the more wise we will become and the better our decisions will be. But it means that as I do that, I don't need to be paralyzed by fear. I don't need to be paralyzed by fear that maybe this is the wrong decision and this is the right decision. I can live my life under God, making decisions and moving forward, knowing that He is guiding me and that He's directing me in ways that are even unknown to me. That He's bringing people into my life, circumstances into my life, parts of the Word of God into my life, thoughts into my life, that guide and change and direct. And as I seek to live my life under His rule, saying to God, I want to live a life that is pleasing to You, that is honoring to You. I want to be a wise person. That I know and I believe that God is in the background guiding my thoughts and my decisions and my directions. So I can be bold. I can be courageous. I can make one decision after the other, next decision after the next decision, knowing that God is leading me forward. So what is the pathway? What is the kind of technique to making these sort of decisions? Well, the first thing the book of Proverbs says is that we need to develop a vision or a plan for our life. Chapter 24, verse 7, it says, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready, and after that, build your house. So the vision of chapter 24 is a house. It's a 4x2 with a pool, with a rumpus room, with a decking, with a theatre room. That's the kind of vision that the book of Proverbs in chapter 24 sets out. And you read or you think about different people's vision throughout history. So Steve Jobs, you know, he had a vision for a computer company. Michael Jordan had a vision to become the best basketball player in the world. Donald Trump had a vision for... We'll just have to wait and see, won't we? And I guess the question is, what is your vision for your life? As you look at your future of your life, what do you think that vision would be? So if I gave you a blank piece of paper and I asked you to draw a picture of your future, what does that future look like? And so the book of Proverbs says that we need to start with thinking about a vision. Secondly, we need to understand who we are. So if we have a vision in mind of where God is actually wanting to lead us, to take us, we need to have a clear understanding of where I am now. In the book of James, James says that if we look at ourselves in the mirror but then go away and forget what we look like, that we're complete fools. He's speaking about looking into the Word of God, and the Word of God are showing you what you're really like and not ignoring that truth. And like any vision and like any plan, we need to start where we are starting. We need to have a clear understanding about who we are. This time of the year, everybody goes to the gym and gets gym membership, don't they? Because we haven't been exercising enough, we've been eating too much, we'll put on a bit of weight. And if you go to the gym, this is what they'll do with you. They'll say, well, what is your vision? And I'll say, well, my vision is to run the New York Marathon. And then they'll test you to show you where you are now. So they'll measure your height. Then they'll put you on scales and measure your weight. If they're really sadistic, they'll do a skin fold test, which is this kind of measuring your fat, really. That's what they do. Then they'll put you on a bike and they'll measure your aerobic capacity. And they'll say, Andrew, this is where you are now. You might want to run the New York Marathon, but you should be thankful that you're alive. And so when it comes to vision, when it comes to plans for your life, you need to actually work out, well, where am I? And what is the next step for me? And again, being super practical, what are the health visions for your life? What are the health plans for your life? We have physical bodies. We're physical beings. We live in a physical world. We believe in the physical resurrection. Our bodies matter. If we're really unhealthy, if we're sick, if we're sort of out of puff all the time, that affects the way we feel about one another. That affects the way we live our life and the way we relate to other people. So what are your physical goals for the future? What are your relational goals for 2017? Have you thought about how your relationship with your husband or your wife is going? How is it that you're relating to your children? What would you actually see your family relationships be like at the end of 2017? What about your friendships? What are your visions for your friendships and how you'd like to see them develop and prosper and grow in 2017? And what about your financial situation? You might constantly find yourselves in a situation where you can't pay your bills, where you're always in great financial strife. Well, how are you going to get out of that? What is your vision and where are you and how are you going to get there? And what about your spiritual condition? What about your relationship with the Lord? I was at a party the other week and just with a bunch of Christians, and they were all talking about their goals and their aspirations for 2017. And they spoke about their work life and about their kids' life, and they spoke about their health, you know, what they wanted to do in those aspects. But none of them, not one of these Christians, actually spoke about their relationship with God. At the end of 2017, how do you want to draw more closely to God? And what steps are you taking to actually get towards that vision? If you're no good at praying, what steps are you going to put in your life to actually increase your prayer life? If you never sit down and read the Word of God, what steps are you going to actually put into place to actually hear from God so He can change you and mold you? So we need to start with a vision. We need to have a clear understanding about where we're at. And thirdly, we need to work hard. Chapter 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. You're probably aware of that Stanford trial where they put a child in this room and they put a marshmallow in the middle of the room. And they said to this child, if you wait 15 minutes and don't eat that marshmallow, we'll give you two marshmallows. And they trialed it on a whole heap of kids. And 75% of the kids couldn't wait for 15 minutes. They just had to eat the marshmallow straight away. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We're not hardworking. We're not patient. We're not persistent. We're not diligent. But if God wants to do anything in our life, we need to actually develop these sort of characteristics. Fourthly, seek advice. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. Here is the whole idea that we don't journey through faith by ourselves. That God calls us into a community, a wise community, a community who know and love Jesus as well. And so as you are out making decisions, as you're making plans, the idea here is that you share them with other Christians. And Christians can speak into those plans, they can shape those plans, they can mold those plans, and they can encourage you in those plans. I take this very seriously. I don't make any decision in the life of this church, any important decision, without talking to the other pastors and the other elders and significant people in the life of this community. Because I believe in and I value the wisdom of others. And as I share my ideas, they often say, well, Andrew, that's not going to work. Or, Andrew, have you thought about this? Or, Andrew, I think you should do this. And together in community, our plans are shaped. And finally, in this super practical section, we need to pray. Chapter 16, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Now, that's completely opposite to what we think it says. We read that verse and we think this. We think, well, I'll make up my dreams and my vision and my plans, and then I'll take those visions and dreams and plans to God and I'll ask God to bless them. God, here's the vision for my life and here's what I want you to do in my life. But that word commit means to stand upon, to rely upon, to put your weight in, to depend upon. And that means that all aspects and in all aspects of your life, you are committing all aspects of your life to God. So again, how does this work? Well, in our first talk, we said that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. How do we understand what's important to God, what's weighty to God? Well, we go to the Word of God and ultimately to Jesus. As we understand the Word of God better, as we understand Jesus better, we know what delights God. And our passions become His passions. Our desires become His desires. Our goals become His goals. And increasingly, step by step, we become more and more wise. And we become more capable of making wise decisions. I remember when my children were little. When my children were little, they asked me and they seeked my advice about everything. So they'd get up in the morning and say, "Dad, is it going to be a hot or a cold day? Dad, should I wear shorts or long pants? Dad, can I have Wheaties or a toast for breakfast? Dad, can I watch TV? Dad, can I have a friend around?" And it's normal for little children to ask their parents those sort of questions because pretty much they're clueless, right? But what would happen when my kids reach the age of 30 and they've left home? What would happen if every day that they actually got on the phone and called me up and say, "Dad, is it going to be hot or cold today? Dad, should I wear shorts or long trousers? Dad, should I have Wheaties or toast for breakfast?" I would hope that by the age of 30, that my kids are wise enough, they're knowledgeable enough to be able to make those decisions for themselves. And that is what I think wisdom is. It's knowing God enough, it's spending enough time with God, it's knowing His Word, and it's knowing His Son Jesus in such a way that wise decisions almost just kind of become natural for you because you know God. You know what pleases God, what delights God. You know the purposes of God. So for our church, I believe that God just really wants three things for our church. That we are to love Him with heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we are to love one another deeply. And we are to love the world in which we live in, to be salt and light and to hold out the hope of Jesus to our world. Those three things are revealed in Scripture. And so I can begin to make decisions for our church based upon my knowledge of God and His purposes for us. And what is true for our church can also be true for us individually. So finally, as we've thought about that, the paradox that my decisions matter and that God is sovereign. This whole idea about actually being strategic in our life, not just kind of floating through life. God doesn't want us to waste our life, but to live a life that is purposeful and is useful for Him. But finally, there's a promise. Sometimes in life we'll make good decisions and sometimes we'll make poor decisions. Sometimes our dreams will actually be realized, but sometimes they'll just actually fall to the ground. But what is the plan and what is the purpose of God for your life and for my life? We're in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, we read God's plan for your life and my life. God says, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves along the ground." So God's plan is that we would rule this world under His rule. That in our working, in our playing, in our loving, in just in life, that we would be God's representatives here on earth. That we would care for this planet. That we would be image bearers to one another, representing God to one another. But Genesis 3 says we didn't like that plan. We turned our back upon that plan. We said to God, "I know what your plan is for me, but I think I have a better plan." And so we begin to live our life independently from God. Instead of being wise, we become foolish. Instead of being in a world where we become image bearers to one another, we become selfish bearers to one another. But what does God do? Does He look at His world and say, "Well, that's too much of a mess, that's too hard, that's too chaotic"? No, God actually gets involved in this world and He redeems this world and He redeems our broken plans and our failures. And He sends His Son Jesus. Remember in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to its full." What are sheep like? Sheep are naturally foolish. Sheep are naturally stupid. Sheep naturally actually wander. What do sheep need? Sheep need somebody to actually guide them. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need somebody to watch over them, to protect them, to lead them. And friends, this is what Jesus is wanting to do in your life and in my life today. But it's a bigger plan than that, even more though, isn't it? The plan, the ultimate plan that God has for your life and for my life is that we will actually spend eternity with Him in heaven, that we'll be in the presence of God throughout all eternity. I was sitting with somebody during the week who's not going through a very good time, and you know, they feel that God is very distant, and they feel their spiritual life is not in the place where it once was. They feel like when they pray that their words just kind of bounce off the ceiling, and that they're so very, very distant, and that God is so very distant, and that they're very, very weak. And I was thinking about this great truth that Jesus is our shepherd. And the idea that Jesus is our shepherd, that we can trust Him, that He will take us home regardless of our strength, regardless of our capacity, regardless of our will. I remember when I was a little child going to friends' family places at night time, and you'd have this great time, but eventually you'd fall asleep in exhaustion, and then the next day you'd wake up in your own bed. And you think, well, how did I get there? The reason I woke up in my own bed is that because my mum or my dad picked me up, they took me in the car and they took me home and they placed me in that bed. And that's the truth of the Great Shepherd. That's the truth of the Bible, and that's the truth of Jesus, that God has a plan for your life and for my life, and the ultimate plan is for us to spend eternity with Him. And He will take us to that place. So in your plan, in your decision making, don't live a wasteful life, don't live an unthoughtful life. Live a wise life under the rule of Jesus. Yeah? Let's pray.